James chapter 1, 19 and 20. Therefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. It's very simple. It sounds so simple, but when you put it in a practice, it is difficult. People do not want to control their tongue, control their wrath, and once you are angry, you can do many damages to many people. Even somebody says, but Bible says in book of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26 and 27. Please read that and then we'll come back to these verses. Ephesians chapter 4, 26, 27.
Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil.
Neither give place to the devil. What does it mean? First of all, he says, be angry, but sin not. And then he says, don't give place to devil. That means if you are angry and if you don't control your life, you are going to give space or chance to devil to work in your life. Some people say, oh, I do not allow devil to work. But if you start talking too much, it will be very easy to sin. Let's read the Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19. Proverbs 10, 19.
In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise.
The multitudes of what? Words. A multitude, when you're preaching, you have multitudes of words. You're blessing somebody on multitudes of words. And you are doing some kind of a godly thing, there are so many multitudes of words you use. But when you are angry and use the multitudes of words, then there is no lacking for sin. That means sin is at the door, watching every lips what you're talking about. So the word of God says, be angry, but sin not. And if you keep on anger for another day, then you will have more problem, because when the sun goes down and you are still angry, and what happens? You angrily go to bed, and what happens? You start dreaming bad things. In your unconscious mind, you keep on thinking bad things about that person. And that's why all these murders and all these bad things happens. And some people, if they are not born again, and they go to bed with the anger and with a little bit of liquor, they can do lots of damage to somebody else. That's what the word of God is saying. What? In the multitudes of words, there is no one. Means the sin is already available there. The sin is waiting to come out. So what we have to do? Once you are angry, what you do? Control your anger. Some people, you know, they say, okay, I want to defend myself and I want to get over all these things and I'm going to fight for once and for all. And they think they are righteously doing this. But once you might be righteous, another person sitting against you, he might be not righteous. And when you start saying something that person doesn't like, that person start talking to you more and more. So it's better to avoid those kind of conversation. Stay away from that kind of situation. Proverbs 14 verse 17 says, he who is quick temper. See what happens.
He that is soon angry yieldeth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated.
What happens when you quick or soon to be angry? That means if you keep on anger and start talking to somebody, some foolishness will arise. And you will be start saying something bad about somebody or to someone. It is better to calm down. You know, if somebody is angry, that person might be hungry too. More anger comes when you have nothing in your stomach. Do you ever thought about that? Even the people fasting, and fasting for good reason, they get angry. They get frustrated and they start fighting. If you're angry, just think that somebody came to you to fight with you and say, did you eat anything? No. Let's sit and eat. That person is angry, doesn't want to eat in the first place. But you convince that person to eat something or drink something. Calm that person down. I guarantee you, after eating, that person will not fight the way he wanted to fight. So you can calm down the spirit. That's why the Word of God says, your enemy is hungry, what do you do? Feed him. If he's thirsty, give him water. That's what you do when your enemy comes to you with an angry mood or hungry and thirsty. Yesterday somebody called on the radio. The lady says, I don't have food in my house. Do you go to church? No, I don't go to church anymore. What's the problem? Because God doesn't care anymore. So I don't go to church. If you want some help, go to God. God is there. God's people are there. If somebody comes in our church and say hungry, we have food. We'll give them food. She is angry at the world and she is angry at God. Whose fault that she doesn't have food? There are people who do not want to work. They said, I cannot find a job. I guarantee you, if you give your heart to God and say, Lord, give me a job for your glory, God will create a job for you. There is nothing that there is God cannot do. God supplies our need. Let's read Proverbs chapter 16, verse 32. If you slow your anger, God honors you.
He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city.
If you are slow to anger, you are greater than a mighty man. Mighty people may have lots of power, and they might show fist fight or say something or something like that, but you do not fight with that man. Keep your cool. You might be much more wiser than him. Muslim people go and kill the people and get the control of the city. But the Word of God says, if you are not angry, and if you keep your cool, you are mightier than those people. You cannot win the people with the sword. You win the people with the love of God. And they will stay in the Lord. Other day, one lady, and she said she married a Muslim guy in America. And she married a Muslim guy, and that person, he had 21 furniture stores. So he kept her so busy, not going to church. Before that, he might have said, you can go to church. Your God and my God is the same. And he loved her so much and gave her so much money and so much romance and things like that. Lady became crazy. She didn't care about Christianity and she went after him. And once she got married, one after another, 4 children came. She got so busy with all of these things. Didn't have time to think about Jesus. And all of a sudden something clicked in her mind. What I am doing? And she said, can I go to church? He said, yes, you can go to church. He thought, you know, now she has 4 children. She's mine. She's not going to go anywhere. She started going to church and somebody might have said, what did you do? You thought you will bring that man to Jesus Christ, but instead of bringing him to God, you sold out to Muslim religion. And she started thinking, Jesus Christ came from heaven. He died for me. He gave his life for me. What I'm doing? So when she starts saying, I want to go to church regularly, man start beating her. Man start keeping her indoor and would not allow her to go anywhere. Finally, that lady divorced the man. And today, she married to the born-again Christian man. And this lady is going places to places, telling other ladies, please do not marry Muslims. Please do not marry unsaved people. I went through hell and I don't want you to go through this hell. What happens? The people who are ungodly, they try to control you with their wrath, with their rod, with their sword, but that is not the right thing in the sight of God. The Word of God says it is better to keep quiet and not to go and kill somebody and get the city. You might be much wiser than those people. So what the Word of God is saying, keep your calm. Let's go back to that verse 19. Therefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Now somebody says, slow to speak. That doesn't mean, how are you? That's not what he's trying to say. Slow to speak means when somebody says something bad to you, somebody says something to make you angry, calm down. Don't try to give him answer so fast. Wait. Think. If I say something, what's going to happen next? So that's what the Word of God is saying. Slow to speak and slow to wrath. The anger will come. Try to change your mind. Somebody start making angry, go and turn the television, Christian television. Not to soap opera kind of television. Christian television, and somebody singing or somebody saying something, or somebody might, Spirit of God will say something right there and there. My son or my daughter, don't be angry. Leave it to God, or something you hear. I heard somebody taking gun and trying to kill themselves, said, put your gun away. That man even didn't, he was not even watching that man putting the gun in his head. But he just simply said by the Spirit of God, keep that gun away from your head. Put it down and kneel down and pray. And many people got saved just listening to the Word of God. So what I'm trying to say, when you're angry, stay away from this kind of fight. Some people, what they do when they're angry, take the car and go away thinking that I don't want to fight. But what they do, go away and crush that car on the some kind of pole or some kind of tree and end their life. If they would have called on God or say, Lord Jesus, I cannot handle this. Could you give me some grace and some wisdom how to handle my wife or my husband? Or call the minister or talk to somebody. Your life would be changed. The Word of God says, the verse 20, for the wrath of man worketh not of righteousness of God.
Amen.
That means if you are angry, God doesn't like it. The wrath of man is against God. Even the Word of God says, be angry but what, sin not. But somebody says, I keep the liquor in my house but I don't drink it. Why are you keeping it? Oh, I just keep it. But if you keep it, someday you're going to use it. Same way some people keep the gun in their house. I'm not against keeping the gun in your house. But if you're keeping gun in your house and you get into fight or get into some problem, you are going to use it one day. Then somebody says, how I'm going to protect my house and my family? Psalm 127, it says, what? If the guard is not watching the city, watchman's watching is in vain. Who is the Savior? Jesus. If somebody comes with a gun on this and that, you just say, in the name of Jesus, I tell you to stop or drop your gun. I guarantee you that man will obey you, or maybe say, turn around and go back. He will listen to you because God gives you power. The Word of God says, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, what? God has not given us what? The spirit of fear. But He has given us power, love, and sound mind. If you live in the Lord, you don't have to be afraid of anybody. But at the same time, don't use your tongue to destroy somebody. The chapter will be coming about the tongue later on, so I'm going to save it for later. Okay, let's read verse 21. Therefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of negativeness and receive with meekness engrafted word which is able to save your soul. Be apart means stay away from this thing. What? Filthy things. And superfluity means the sin is overflowing. All the bad thing. Just you have, if you have New King James Version, please read somebody from New King James.
Therefore lay aside all filthiness and
overflow of wickedness. That's what it is. So he says that filthiness is so much gathered like an overflowing. That's the wickedness. That's the bad thing or sinful activities. So much overflowing in your life. So what he's saying? Lay apart. Stay away. Stay away from these filthy things. All the wickedness, flowing away means overflowing.
Amen.
Stay away. If somebody you see, that person is angry, that person is bad, that person is always looking for something to fight, don't talk to that person for a while. When that person comes to in his mind, he will start thinking, I was wrong, that person was right. But we have to stay away. And he says, the word of God, when you read, that word engraved in your heart or settle in your heart, abide in the word of God, then you stay away from the filthiness of the world. David says in his Psalms, Psalm 119, verse 11, I think, he says, I have hidden your word in my heart, so I will not sin against you. So if you read the Bible, study the word, and meditate on the word of God, less chances for you to sin. If I ask the Christian person, do you read your Bible regularly? Oh, I read. What chapter are you reading? Whatever comes in my hand. I don't remember what I read. You are not reading. You are just reading to tell somebody I read the Bible. Or sometimes you might read the whole book. What did you read in that book? I don't know. I was just reading. That reading will not do any good to anybody or to you. So what the Word of God is saying, if you don't want to be angry and do not want to commit sin, keep the Word of God in your heart. It only will come you meditate on the Word of God, thinking what I'm reading and why this scripture came to me today, what this scripture is telling me, if I am anything out of these scriptures, why I read this, or why I read this, or why I study the word today, or why I heard this gospel today. There is some reason. And so we put it right with God. Verse 22. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. What does it mean? He says, somebody says, I heard it, but if you heard something and if you're not doing what you heard, that means you did not hear it. When somebody, because your mom or your dad or your brother or your boss or somebody tells you to do something and you heard it and you didn't do it, what does it mean? You did not hear what the man said. So he's saying, you do not be only hearer. Oh, I heard the word. Did you do what the word said? No. So he says, do not be hearer only, but what? Doers. What God says, do, I do. That's what God wants. When I go to church and hear every message every day, do you do what the message says to you? No. Then why do you hear it? I just hear it because Bible says go to church, so I go to church. And I am obeying the commandments to go to church. When you go to church, you listen to the Word of God. And the Word of God comes to you, then what you do? Practice what the Word of God says.
That's right.
That's what he's saying. Otherwise, you will be deceiving your own selves. Okay, verse 23. Let's read anyone here. Verse 23.
For any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass.
Now, this sounds silly, but this happens. Simply, somebody looks at the mirror and goes away and comes back again. I didn't know. I'm okay. Let's look at all one more time. Because what happens, they look at themselves and they want themselves to be perfect. And they look at and say, let me see one more time. So he says, this is just like a man looking at the mirror, but this is not only doing for the makeup or looking good. This man is forgetful. He looks at the mirror and says, I didn't know what I saw. Let me check it one more time. I was just looking for my hair. I did not look at my forehead. And then he comes and says, but I did not see this side, my neck and things like that. Let me go again. So he's forgetting what he saw himself. And some people doing like that, they say, this is the man, just like he doesn't do the word of God. He's just like that man. Means what? He just forgets. If you hear something and you forget all the time, then what will happen? Your life will be so miserable. That's what in this chapter we read. If somebody doesn't have wisdom, what they do? Ask God. And God will give you liberally.
That's right.
Looking at a mirror 10,000 times is not going to change your life. You have to change from inside, not outside. You can make your face looking so beautiful, but you inside the garbage. What it says, garbage in, garbage out. That's what is going to come out. So the word of God is saying, do not be like that person. 23, for if a man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he just like unto man beholding his natural face in the glass. 24, for he beholdeth himself, straight away forgetteth what the man manner of man he was. So that is not good for any believer. You read the word and you did not understand what it was. Read 3 times, 4 times, 5 times, 6 times, 7 times, doesn't matter. But put it in practice. If you didn't understand John 3:16, if I say, you will say it by heart, right? So if you heard that John 3:16 only one time, I don't think you knew that word by heart. But you heard it over and over and over and over again. The same way, if that man, he has one fault, he sees his face, look at the mirror, goes away from the mirror, and forget what he looked like. That's a dangerous thing. But we should not be like that. If you read something, then you say, this is for me. If you open the Bible, and you are so angry that day, and God says, do not be angry. You say, no, this is not the chapter. And you close the Bible and start reading something else. When God gives you the word, you obey it. Because each and every word is written in the word of God to encourage you. And all the examples are given. People take the bad example. They say, oh, David did something wrong. He went to Bathsheba and get the example. Now, I can do the same. There is a website, not one, several. I'm not giving their names. But there are websites trying to tell you how to cheat your husband and how to cheat your wife. And we'll give the hints to how to do it. But don't sue us. We will not come in between your husband and you. If he does something, don't tell us. But we will tell you how to cheat. He has the solution. Several websites to tell you how to commit sin. But there are very few websites will tell you what to do, how to do right. And even though there are websites, there are church websites, people are not listening. They are not even checking it. They will check only how to do wrong. There are websites how to make bombs, how to kill somebody, how to hire somebody to hit man. All the things is there to find out. And so devil is busy doing all of these things. Okay, let's go to verse 25. Anyone can read.
For whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed.
Now, this man, whoever it is, he listens to the word of God, he keep it in his heart, and something happens to him. God sets him free from all the evil things. When you doing something wrong, what happens? Devil binds you, makes you his slave, and puts the things in your mind which is not godly, and then you act like animal. That's the devil's job. But once you come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, God sets you free. Free from what? Free from committing evil things. And if that person lives in God, that person will be blessed. Let's read the book of Romans chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. Book of Romans chapter 8.
There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death.
God, or the Jesus Christ, made you free from what? Sin and death. When you are in Jesus Christ, death passed away. When you are in Jesus Christ, judgment passed away. So when you live in Jesus Christ, you are not under the sinful law, but you are under the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God lives in you, The Spirit of God will lead you in all truth. The Spirit of God will not allow you to commit sin. Because the Word of God says, when you are free from sin and death. Once I receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I am free. I was bound to movies and actors and all of these things. I told you this before. Every Sunday I'm sitting in the church and thinking about movies. And I would say, when this man is going to finish, so I can run and see the first show. Because first show starts maybe 11:30. And so I was running, and this man, if he's late, feel guilty why I'm doing this. But once I got saved, that going to movie things passed away. I am not bound to any demonic things. Jesus Christ set me free. So that's what it is. Sets you free from what? Sin and death. So now, when you are born again, child of God, you do not have to worry about sinful activities. People sometimes they say, I don't know how can I live without these things. I am bound to this thing. Maybe some kind of liquor or some kind of cigarette or some kind of gambling. Gambling also is addiction. All of these things, they are addicted to certain things and they say, it is impossible for me to live a Christian life. But it's very simple. When you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, what do you say? Come into my heart, be my Lord, and be my Savior. When you ask Him to be your Lord, what does it mean? Now He is going to make a decision in your life. You should smoke or should not smoke. Did you any time ask Jesus, Jesus, can I smoke this cigarette today? Did you ask Him? Jesus, can I take this liquor today? Did you ask Him? Somebody said, oh, I asked Him. What did He say? Take it. That was not Jesus. That was devil. Because last week we learned God will not tempt you with what? Evil and sinful things. God will not mislead you. Because the Word of God says if you're living in sin, you are living in death. You are living in bondage. That's why the Word of God says, Jesus says, ye shall know the truth and what? Truth shall set you free. And then He says, if the Son of Man or Son of God sets you free, then what? You are free indeed. That means you are not going to be bound again. So we are free people. Not to free commit sin, but to not to sin. That's my freedom. I don't have to sin. The Word of God is saying, God gives you liberty, and if that person lives in liberty, that man or this man shall be blessed in his deed. Whatever you do, it will prosper. Please go and read the Psalm 1 and first three verses. Book of Psalms, chapter 1 and first three verses.
Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night.
Now just think about these two verses first. This man doesn't listen to any evil thing, doesn't go to evil people, doesn't stand in their way, doesn't sit with them, doesn't have any conversation, doesn't want to be around with those people. But what he is doing? This man is meditating on the Lord day and night. Somebody will say, I don't have time to do that. I'm a very busy girl or I'm a busy man. I have so many things to do in my mind. I guarantee you, you can do anything and still meditate on the Lord. If you are working in the company and are working in the factory and working in the machine, say John 3:16, that hand will not stop. You can say anything you want, you repeat the Word of God, you meditate on the Word of God, you pray in your mind, and same time you can do the job. So it is possible. You're doing your laundry, you're doing your vacuum cleaner, you do anything. Just say, praise the Lord, hallelujah, glory to God. And you keep on doing your things. It will not stop you to doing things. You will be doing better things. So that man who meditates on the Lord, what? Day and night. Somebody says, he doesn't sleep or what? Night time you go to bed reading the Bible, thinking about godly thing, and even though you're sleeping, instead of having a bad dreams, you're having a godly dreams. Bible scripture come to your mind. God might be speaking to you. Tomorrow you go and meet that person or pray for that person. So many good things can happen to you in your night time. You will not have a bad visions. You don't have to get up in the middle of the night, your heart beating faster, or you don't want to worry about those things if you meditate on the Lord day and night. And then something else happens. Let's read the word 3.
He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper.
Now see this man who is planted by the riverside. He's giving an example like a tree. Now this man means if he's planted by the riverside, means he's feeding on Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ supplies the living water, he supplies the food, and just like Sammy said, Lord is my shepherd and what? I shall not want. That's the kind of man we are talking about. Now that's the kind of man he said, he brings fruit in due season. There are some trees, they bring fruit one time and they skip another year. Sometime, you know, give less crop and sometime more. But this tree says gives fruits in every season. And it says its leaves are not even withered. Means that tree doesn't die, summer or winter, whatever comes, green all the time. And so leaves, what the leaves shows you? Leaves is the testimony. Saying something. You remember that dove, Noah said, and the dove brought the leaves, fresh leaves. But the Noah got the message. Hey, now the ground is dry. Let's go out. Or Jesus went to that leaves tree, very green and everything. When he went there, he could not find anything. So what I'm trying to say, leaves gives some message. So your leaves are green all the time. What have you? You have a testimony all the time. Not a bad testimony, good testimony. That other tree, Jesus went there to find something and could not find something. So what he did? He cursed the tree, and tree was cursed from the ground. And the Peter says, this happened so fast. Then Jesus said, if you have faith, what do you do? You can tell this mountain to go to the sea, or tell the tree to go to the sea, it will obey it. That's not my subject, but point I'm making, if you are a godly man, your testimony will be good. Your fruit will be good. What do you say? How can you know the tree is good? Can you tell me? If the fruit is good, the tree is good. If the fruit is bad, the tree is bad. So the good tree brings good fruits, and you will know the person from the fruit. If somebody says, I'm born again, I'm baptized, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, how do you know that person? How he bears the fruits? Is he doing good deeds? Otherwise, you cannot tell that person that the person is a good man, a good woman. If their deeds are bad, that person is bad. The good person will do good things. That's what it's saying. So, that person, whatever takes in his hand or her hands, what happens? Whatever he doth shall prosper. Means, that person, what person? The person who do not have the friendship with the ungodly people, do not listen to ungodly people, do not take their counsel. If you have a problem, don't call the friend who is not a Christian. He might be very wise, maybe lawyer. Don't call ungodly lawyer to give you advice. He will give you all bad advice. There are good Christian lawyers. But I'm saying, do not call ungodly person, your friend, to give you advice. Some people say, one man came to me, he said, I have Muslim friends better than Christians. I said, you might have met bad Christians. If a born-again Christian you meet, they are better than any person in the world. But he said, I have Muslim people I trust more. I said, I will prove it to you. One day, that unsaved Muslim person will destroy you. And the time came. The man said, I'm going to go to Pakistan. He sold his houses. He took him, his wife, his children, his grandchildren, sold everybody's houses, took lots of money. I said, sir, you have the checking account? Keep the money in checking account. Go and check the water there, how the business is, how the property is, how the things are. And then you can write a check and give it to somebody. American bank check is still good in anywhere in the world. But he said, I'm going to take this money. Why don't you keep it in American bank and go there and use it from there? He did not take my advice. He took all of his money and he went there within a short time, not even months or years, short time, he found a Muslim person. And he told him, you have the money, you came from America, why don't you invest money in this business? It's very good. He took all the money, gave it to the man, put it in the business, and same day or night, the man comes, he says, listen, somebody found out that you have this much money and you give me this much money, and that other person is going to kill you and all your family. Better run for your life. That man has to run for his life, and today he has no money. Might be working somewhere for minimum wages now. What I'm trying to say, don't trust unsaved person. Don't say they are better than Christians. He got his lesson. If he comes to me, I say, sir, didn't I tell you? Trust in God. Amen. Trust in God's people. Don't trust heathens who has no fear. That's what this man is. He said, he doesn't trust anybody. He doesn't go to ask their counsel. He doesn't sit with them. He doesn't gossip with them. He doesn't make friendship with them. And that's the kind of person is blessed.
That's right.
And the word of God says, whatever that person does, that will prosper.
Amen.
Why that other man's business did not prosper? Because he did not trust in the Lord. He did not take the counsel of godly man. He took the counsel of ungodly men. And that's why he lost everything. Okay, let's go to our chapter. Book of James, chapter 1, verse 26. Please read. Anyone can read.
Any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. True religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the...
Any man among you seem to be religious, and what? Don't put bridle in his tongue, means control his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart. This man's religion is in vain. What does it mean? If somebody says, I'm a religious person, and do not control his tongue, say any filthy thing comes in his mouth, his religion is in vain.
Amen.
One man came to me and he said, there is a religious godly man in town. Come and see him. As soon as he sees you, he tells your future. I said, sir, there is no godly man. Only godly man I believe in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
If he's not a Christian man, I don't believe he's a religious. He said, you ought to come and see. I said, I'll come and I'll show you he's not a religious man.
Amen.
He said, come and show me. I went there and middle of the night, 2 o'clock, they are smoking pots. And I'm getting dizzy and feel like vomiting. And I said, oh Lord, why did I come here? And I want to prove it to this man that this man is not religious. How am I going to prove it? And I start praying, Lord, show me, how can I prove it to him? I start telling him, see, he's a religious man, but he smokes. He said, in our religion, doesn't matter, that smoking is fine. I said, Lord, how am I going to prove it to him? I pray. Pretty soon, his assistant comes with the onion in his hand and say, sir, this is an apple, take and eat. And he used the foul language, I don't want to use it. He used the very bad language, and he started insulting him. I said, hey, he's a godly man. Look at his tongue. How bad thing he is talking. Even the man on the street or the filthy man will not use that language. That language he's using. Not only one word. Then the other guys start fighting with him. And they start fighting at least 5-10 minutes. and putting each other down. And the other man said, how you became this big? I go on the street, beg the food, beg the money, and bring it to you, and you sit here on this like a throne. Who made you this big? I made you big. And that's the way they were fighting. I proved my point, and I told this man's religion is worthless. I cannot learn anything from him. But I came here to prove it to you, and I prove it my point. This man is not a religious man, he's a filthy man. That's what the Word of God is saying. A person says, I'm a religious, and doesn't have control on his tongue, his religion is worthless.
Amen.
And then he says, pure religion is this. He's saying, what kind of religion is this? Pure religion is this, and undefiled before God and the Father is this. What is that religion? To visit the fatherless,
amen,
and the widows,
amen,
in their affliction. And when you're doing this, he says, and to keep himself or yourself unspotted from the world.
Amen.
And somebody says, how come this happens? Now, most of the people try to say, I'm helping the poor and widows. Instead of helping them, what they do, I don't want to say, there is a one lady I saw, and there are many. One lady I saw, she's a nurse. What she does when somebody is very old, 90, 95 years old, she goes to help them. She goes give them food. She goes and try to take care of them, thinking, oh, this lady is very good. And she finds out everything. Do you have any relatives? How much money you have? How this house is paid off or not. All of these things she gathers. And what happens if that person dies? But then she takes her house and takes everything for herself. And there are some men will go and try to help somebody. There was a one minister, and the wife got saved first, and the man came later on. So she became a boss. I got saved first, so I will be the chief pastor, and you should be assistant pastor. But this man was humble. He listened to her. He did everything, and she did not allow him to do anything. And she was doing everything. This man was a singer. He can play piano. He knew English very well. He can correspondence with people. And she was unlearned. She didn't know anything much, but she had a lot of power. Brother Peter, it's too difficult. That man died, went to heaven. And then somebody came to help this lady, a young man, maybe in his 30s or 40s. Now this lady maybe was 70, 80 years old. He came to help her. And then all of these church members start telling her, this is wrong. She doesn't want to listen to anybody. She kicked her everybody out. Nobody wants to come to church. And finally, that lady died in a very bad situation. So that's the reason the Word of God says, you try to help widow, but he said, keep yourself undefiled or unspotted and keep it holy. But some people do not do that. They try to help somebody to gain something. But if you are a born-again child of God, you will help people. The people are widows, are childless, or somebody died in the family. You help them. You go and give them food or give them money or do something. But do it for the glory of God. Not
Amen.
Any string
That's right.
attached.
Amen.
That's what the Word of God is saying.
Amen.
Shall we rise? Shall we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You are unchangeable God. Lord Jesus, supply all their needs according to your riches and glory. Bless each and every one of them. We commit ourselves into your loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And Amen.